Morning. As Tana mentioned, I was here 5 years ago, and it's nice to finally be asked back. It was actually about 5.5 years ago, and Pastor Steve was out of town, and so he asked if I would pinch hit. It was in August, so he must have been on vacation or out camping with you guys or doing something. But I vividly remember that experience, and I don't have time to tell you the whole process that's led up to today, but as my wife and I say, we really can't explain it other than to say it's a God thing. And so we're just going for the ride and enjoying it and are really, really excited to be here this morning. And it's been great getting to know many of you yesterday at the leaders' Q&A and meeting with elders and several different meetings throughout the past couple months, actually. So it's great to be here. For those of you that are unfamiliar with what's been going on, this is week two of a series called Life Together, and Jonathan started the series last week and talking about what does it mean for us to be a part of a community and to do life together. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the one another's in Scripture, because again and again, we see this phrase one another used about how we're supposed to live life together and do life together. Jonathan asked a great question last week, and I want to kind of ask it again, and this is audience participation time, so I don't know how much you're used to participating and engaging, but I just have a really simple question for any of you this morning, and that is, why are you here? It's not a rhetorical question, so we need... Yes? You like playing with your friends. All right, that's a very good answer. All right?
Scott?
Potluck today. All right, excellent. Actually, we've got some great answers there. Anyone else? There's no wrong answer, by the way, so you can just kind of set yourself at ease. What? We got one over here? Your family made you, all right? Survey says. Okay. Yeah. A fundamental dissatisfaction with reality. Okay. All right.
Habit.
Okay, so, yeah.
I'm hoping to learn and grow.
Hoping to learn and grow. All right. Thank you very much. The check's in the mail. I do have several friends here. Thank you all for coming.
Wow.
Okay. Good. Fellowship of believers.
Worship and praise God.
All right.
It's our family.
That, there's a common thread to a lot of these, and that is this idea of togetherness and community and family. One thing I've discovered very quickly about SIO is that this really is a family. It's a tight-knit family. It's a lot of you have been together for a very long time, and it excites me that you've welcomed my family and are welcoming other people into your family. Because a family can be a great thing, but it can also be, if it's inclusive, or I should say exclusive, it can be kind of a damaging thing, especially when we're called to reach out to the world. And so what I've found here is sort of the best of both worlds, a really tight-knit family, but also one that's open and embracing and welcoming to others. And that's so critical. We live in a culture, I believe, where the individual seems to be the center of attention. It's all about you. You deserve a break today. It's me and whatever I can do. Even the army several years ago had this thing of the army of one. And it's a lie of our culture that says we don't need anybody else. It's just me. Even in spirituality, sometimes this comes up. Well, it's just me and Jesus. I don't need other people. I don't need anyone else. And it's a lie. It's an absolute lie. The enemy. And I know Jonathan, I listened to his message, although we were unable to be here last week, but I listened to the podcast. And he said some great things last week about just how we're members of one body together and that we need each other and we complement one another. And that's really what this whole series is going to be about. It says in Genesis chapter 2, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And what you have to understand about the context of this, and many of you know this, this is the creation story, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, is God creates all these things and he says, plants and vegetation and the sun and the moon and the stars and everything he makes, he says, is good. This is good, this is good, this is good, this is good. And certainly we can appreciate the value of God's creation all around us. But when he made man, he said, it's not good. It's the only time that he stopped and said, it's not good for man to be alone. And of course, he made a helper suitable for him. Genesis 2:20, the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field, but for Adam no suitable helper was found. That means even dogs. I know there's probably a lot of you dog lovers, man's best friend, but no dog was sufficient for Adam. Or cats either, for those of you that are cat lovers. See, we were made to be in community together. We were created to do life together. It was not good for man to be alone. Even God himself exists in community. This idea of the Trinity, a word that's not found in the Bible, but that's certainly represented throughout the pages of Scripture, that God exists in community. The concept of one God in three persons is so clear. Even in the Genesis account, Genesis 1:26, God said, let us, did you ever catch that? Let us make man in our image and our likeness and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. God models for us community, relationships, interdependency, and complementing one another. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need one another. Which leads us to our text for this morning, which is Galatians 6:2, and it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. Carry one another's burdens. And we're going to take a look at that over the next few moments. But before we do, would you join me in prayer, please? Awesome God, thank you for the beauty of your creation. As we've just looked at a couple short passages in Genesis about your creative power and how you, Father, Son, and Spirit, together work and create. You've created each of us unique and special with value, dignity, and worth. You've given us a beautiful world around us. As we look at the sunshine outside and see the formations of ice and crystals and the snowflakes, each one unique and special, we're just reminded of how wonderful and amazing and awesome you are. And as we spend this time together in your word, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would please you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Carry each other's burdens is what we're talking about this morning. For those of you that are Greek scholars, the Greek word for burden in this context, this particular word is baros, which means heaviness or weight or burden or trouble. It specifically refers to those things that you cannot carry on your own. A couple of passages later, it talks about a different type of burden. It says each one should carry his own load. And some look at that and say, well, is there a contradiction? But actually, the word for load there, those are the things you can carry. Those are the things like your own stuff that you need to have personal responsibility for. But there are some things that are just beyond us, aren't there? There's some things that despite our best attempts, our best efforts, we just cannot do on our own. And again, this is the beauty of community and the idea of carrying one another's burdens. This may be a physical need, but it may be a temptation. It may be a relationship or really any kind of crisis that maybe you can't handle on your own. And I'm sure we can all think about some of those things, those burdens in our life that were just simply overwhelming for us. I love this picture. I don't know if you can see it there. You know, sometimes we are to carry one another's burdens, but, well, you don't want to be obnoxious about it. And I'll just kind of let that sit as it does. That's not exactly what it means, but life is hard. How many of you can agree with me? Life is hard. Amen? All right, we're going to go Pentecostal. Amen? Oh, there we go. Okay. Just seeing if you're awake. Make sure you got enough caffeine in your system. But life is really, really hard. And I've got some bad news for you if you were unaware that you are either coming out of a trial, you're in the middle of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. That's just kind of the way it works. And there are these things in life that are hard and that we really can't handle on our own. The Christian life is not easy. And Jesus warned us about this. He said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Oh, isn't that pleasant? Yay! My favorite verse. In this world you will have trouble. Jesus doesn't lie. And in fact, he not only said this just in a generic sort of way, but he said this to his followers. He said, you're going to have specific problems because people are going to hate you because of me. A lot of times people will come to Christ and they'll think, oh, well, if I just pray this prayer and I go to church, then all my problems will just disappear. And if you've ever been through that process, you know quite the opposite happens. That actually following Jesus creates a whole new set of problems. One of the things I often think about are friends of mine and that are married, and one of them comes to faith in Christ, and it just, in many cases, it just destroys their marriage. You would think, well, Jesus, entering the marriage is just a wonderful thing. But the strife and the tension and two people are living two completely different lives, completely different worldviews, can really create barriers. We had a friend, my wife and I, years ago, and she would just call us time after time after time and say, my marriage is just a wreck because of my faith in Jesus. He wants nothing to do with Jesus, and I'm trying to follow Jesus, and neither of us knew Christ when we got married, but now I love the Lord, and He wants nothing to do with it. We don't know what to do with our money and our kids, and it's just raising all this chaos. And time and time again, we would just pray with her, and we'd say, be strong, and hang in there, and just keep praying for him. And it was about 10 or 15 years later that we got this call that we just dreamed of when she said, he's finally come to faith in Christ. And then we had the opportunity to actually visit. They were in Alaska at the time, and we visited their family. And just to see him get in the car and get all the ready for church and drive, and he was a greeter at the church. And I was just like, who are you and where did you come from? Because the transformation in his life was so incredible. But very often when we come to faith in Christ, it does crazy things. In fact, although it's not an issue in our culture today at this moment, it could in the future, there's persecution. Many of you are familiar with the Voice of the Martyrs and some of the things that are going on around the world. I mean, not just taking these 20-minute walks on barefoot, but people are dying. 200,000 people, it's estimated, give their lives every year in our free world just because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And so you will have trouble. You will have trouble, but, of course, Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. I love Eugene Peterson's translation of our text in a passage called The Message. Many of you are familiar with The Message. It says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. We're to carry one another's burdens. And carrying sometimes can be a little bit passive when you think about it. But I love just his imagery of stooping down and reaching out. Because, you know, that doesn't happen accidentally. Nobody accidentally carries someone's burdens. We can't just kind of sit back and lay low and, you know, kind of hope it happens. No, it requires initiative. When's the last time that you stooped down to help somebody in need? When's the last time you reached out to somebody that was carrying a burden when you reached out to help someone? I mean, sometimes our lives are so busy, we're so overwhelmed with our own stuff that helping other people seems so difficult. And then at other times, maybe we want to help, but we either don't know who to help or we're just so overwhelmed because the world is such a dark place and the needs are so great. And there's a tendency for us to just paralyze and do absolutely nothing. But one of the things that I think is great is that God has given us the church, and not just the local small C church, but the capital C church. It's a great place to begin to care for one another and to serve one another and to love one another and to carry one another's burdens. That's what I love so much about SIO is I've heard so many stories about people in this room helping and serving one another. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's an attractive thing. It's a really powerful and attractive thing when we can begin to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ and the power in our lives and how He gives us the power to do great things, serving one another. I mean, community is SIO's middle name. And I really sense that. And I sense if SIO can become and, you know, continue to become this family that cares for one another and carries one another's burdens, that the world is going to take notice and say, I want to be a part of that. There's actually historical precedence. The early church, let me just actually say this, that I noticed the mission of SIO. Anyone know it? Well, now you know it. It's making disciples and bringing the transforming love of God to the world around us. So it's not just a country club internally, but also being a strong family that can then reach out and carry the burdens and needs of other people and loving the world around us. The early church spread largely through dynamic community. They didn't have billboards and Facebook and televangelists or even radio broadcasts to kind of let people know. In fact, as far as I understand, they didn't have printing presses to take flyers to the mall and put them on, you know, windshields and let people know about the meetings that were going on. They didn't have any of those forms of technology and communication. But they had one thing that was really, really powerful, and it was a dynamic community. It was dynamic love and caring for one another. And their community was contagious. It was attractive. It was incarnational, as they were literally Jesus with skin on and carrying on the message of Jesus. And it changed the world. In Acts 2 and 4, we see the early church in Jerusalem practiced a communal lifestyle. And they lived from a common purse and they took care of one another. And it was a really beautiful thing. Tim Keller notes that Julian, the last Roman emperor who tried to revive paganism, built temples and spruced them up. But Christianity was spreading faster than he could compete with. In the midst of this, he wrote to a friend, a pagan priest, and he said, "Nothing has contributed to the progress of the superstition of these Christians as their charity to strangers. The impious Galileans provide not only for their own poor, but for ours as well." What a statement. Keller adds these words. He says, "The early Christians were promiscuous with their charity." I love that expression. They were promiscuous with their charity. They demonstrated great liberality toward the poor, especially to the churches at Jerusalem and Antioch and Macedonia. They began serving one another, carrying one another's burdens, and then they reached out to the world, a world that has forever been transformed. Our family lives in a neighborhood. It's Meadowview Subdivision. It's about a mile from Sam's Club, if any of you know where that's at, over in Pittsfield Township. And one thing that surprised me when we moved into the neighborhood 12 and a half years ago is that the first six families that we met were all really strong Christian families. Like the first six of them in a row. And it was a little, at first it was a little freaky. Like, what have we gotten into here? And it was especially challenging because, well, we moved to Ann Arbor, as some of you know, 12 years ago to start a church. And we wanted to start a church not for church people, but really to as an outreach to reach people that the other 300 churches in the county weren't reaching. And I thought, well, if all these people are Christians, then how can we lead Christians to faith in Christ? And it just seemed really kind of frustrating. And I shared this with my wife. I said, you know, this is a weird place that we're living in. And, you know, her comment at first was, well, it's actually great because all these Christian kids, you know, our kids can play with and stuff. And we love our neighborhood. I mean, we've been there 12 and a half years. Absolutely love it. But I was talking to a friend of mine, a very, very wise friend of mine, not long after we moved in. And I kind of explained this thing. And I said, I'm really kind of frustrated that we moved into this neighborhood with all these Christians. And in fact, we discovered later it was started by a Christian community in the area. And they all wanted to kind of live together and carry one another's burdens and serve one another. And my friend said, well, what makes you think that that is not in and of itself a phenomenal expression of evangelism, a phenomenal expression of the power of God alive at work in people's lives that would attract other people from the outside that would want to be a part of it? And it got me thinking. And certainly what's happened in the years since is more and more people have moved into our neighborhood as people have moved on to find jobs. And people are experiencing the love and the power of a dynamic community as people love and serve one another. And we've certainly enjoyed living in that neighborhood all these years. Well, it begins with us. And as I said, we must then be inclusive to reach out to the world. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men you will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's it. We are his followers by how we love one another. Not how many times we attend church or if we have a fish on the back of our bumper sticker and a bumper sticker or something like that. But how we love one another. And the world will take notice, and the world is taking notice. When we carry one another's burdens, incredible things happen, not only internally but externally. So how do we do this? Well, to carry the burdens of others, we need to overcome the fear that we cannot cope with them. We must be convinced that God can help us, and that when he commands us to do something, he gives us the grace to do it. We can be sure that he will bear us up as we bear others' burdens. The first rule in life saving is to never go in and try to save a drowning person by yourself, because then you'll both go down together. So we must be strong in our own faith. We must be strong in our own relationship with Jesus. We must be connected to the one who says that we can cast our burdens on him and he will sustain us. It's very similar to the whole thing in the airplane. Every time I'm on an airplane, it bothers me. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Put on your mask first and then your kid's mask. There's a certain degree to which if we're extending beyond what we have to give, then we both miss out. So we've got to, the first step to carrying one another's burdens is we've got to be connected to Jesus. We have to let him carry our burdens and be strong. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean everything's together. But we have to look to him for our source of strength. Also, doing life together. Obviously, we need to be in one another's lives. They say that love is spelled T-I-M-E. And the more time that we can spend together and know what's going on in one another's lives in a healthy way, not that gossip stuff, but then we can know how we can serve one another. We can know where we have needs and where the burdens are, and we can help lift them and encourage one another. Do you need help? Ask. I was talking to some friends this week, and a good friend of mine, he made a comment to me. We were in a meeting together, and he said, you know, Kirk, I really appreciate you and just how you've been willing to ask for help and to kind of share. In a moment, you're going to hear a little bit of our family story and how people have helped carry our burdens. And he said, you know, you send out emails and you ask for prayer. And it's a beautiful thing just how vulnerable and transparent you are when you're asking for help. He said, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. I don't like telling anybody about my stuff and letting people know where I have needs. And it just really bothered me. I thought, you know, this brother, and he's a dear brother of mine, but I thought pride is keeping him from giving other people the privilege and the opportunity of helping him through life. That pride is keeping him from sharing his needs with others so that then they can come alongside and experience the joy of serving their brother. That it's this idea of carrying one another's burdens is not just about finding someone to carry your burden or carrying someone else. It's about being vulnerable and willing to say, I need help. And that's a very humbling thing to do. And yet, that's the only way that we can carry someone else's burdens is if they let us, and we know about that. Obviously, humble yourself. The third thing is in carrying burdens is we need to overcome the tendency to despise the weak. Or I know in my situation, it's easy for me to judge people and just be like, well, you got this burden, but you made your bed, you sleep in it. This is your mess and you should clean it up. And it's easy for me to look at other people and judge them. Like, well, if you did X, Y, Z, you wouldn't. And God has really, really broken me in this because I found myself in needs, and sometimes, very often, the needs that we have are completely beyond our control. And so to humble ourselves and realize that, but by the grace of God, so go any of us, that we're all needy people. We all need help at times. And we need to humble ourselves and see others the way that Jesus sees us. And then we can encourage people with encouragement and with advice when it's asked for. And deeds, you know, obviously to come alongside people and carry their burdens and find out where do they need help and then help them in their journey. And then lastly, and most importantly, we must pray. You know, pray until the burdens are lifted. And prayer is so powerful. I already shared just how our family had prayed for this other family, for this one man in particular. And after 10 or 15 years, God answered that prayer. And it's so exciting to just see the power of prayer and to see lives transform, and in particular to see that family just worshiping God together. Well, in closing, I felt it was appropriate just kind of share a story about the power of carrying one another's burdens. And so I'm going to ask my wife, Heather, to come up. And I was given a list of all these different verses to speak on. And the one that really jumped out at me was this idea of carrying one another's burdens, because for the last 4 or 5 years, we've had so many people carrying our burdens. In fact, several that are in this room this morning. And well, I think we have a burden that needs to be carried here. Oh, my goodness. Do you need some help?
No, good.
It's my wife, Heather.
Not me. I'm the one who helps others. I don't need a mic. I have a big mouth. All right. Well, I'm not going to stand in one place, so I guarantee that. Yeah, I'm the one who helps others, right? I'm the one. I love to help and serve people. And so, if you had a need, that would be me. I'd love to cook for people. I love to come over. I'll watch the kid. What do you need? And then about four and a half years ago, we needed help. And our family was going through a major, major trial. I'm not going to tell you. If you want to hear the short version, Dee will tell you. She's really good at it. She's got like the condensed version of my story down to a science. And she just heard it Friday night. But if I tell it, we'll be here till dinner. It's a long story and involves a lot of pain. We had a daughter who had a neurological pain disorder and then developed one thing after another after that. And we were pastoring a church at the time. And let me just tell you, you cannot go through something major without other people. You can try to, and we did. At first, we did. Oh, we can do it. We're Kirk and Heather Schneeman. We can do it. No, we can't. We could not, and no one can. And so, interestingly enough, right before this incident happened with our daughter Rachel, I read a book called When I Lay My Isaac Down by Carol Kent. Awesome book. I just read it because I was going through books to read, to peruse for possible Bible studies in the fall with women. This happened to be in the spring. Read the book in like May, and in June is when our adventure began. Coincidence? No. It was about her trial and her journey. And one of the chapters was on stretcher bearers. And that became a term that I came to know well and understand. And stretcher bearers are when you cannot do it yourself. You can't even carry yourself. You just can't do it. And you have people around you who are just there for you, carrying your burdens. Huh, where'd we hear that? That's my name. That's cool. So carrying burdens, right? And we had people that we barely knew come and walk beside us, walk through this journey. And they would pray for us, which really was the number one thing. And not only that, they physically cared for our family. We had meals brought to us. We had gift cards, which, by the way, if you have a family that is in need, like they're in the hospital for an extended period of time, like we were, like 12 weeks, then gift cards are awesome because you don't have time to eat and you get to order on your time. Just saying. That's one thing I learned. And now that's what I do for others. See how we learn and grow and pass it on. So we got that. We had friends live at our house. Who does that? You know, they moved into our house to take care of our other two children that we, at the time I was living in the hospital with my daughter, and Kirk would commute back and forth. And this couple didn't have any children themselves, newlyweds, moved in to help care for our children. Who does that, right? And, I mean, I could go on and on. We were in the hospital, and I mentioned eating. It's a rare thing, and you get sick of hospital food. But a friend of mine brought dinner to us, and she set it up with a tablecloth and candles, which I went, are we allowed to have candles in the ICU? You know, that was me. And so, like, isn't that sweet? I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're going to get kicked out of the ICU. But it was such, I mean, I remember that so vividly, and it was just a sweet gesture on her part. And I have to go back and tell her that, but I could tell you story after story after story, and a lot of you are here. And you were there for us, and our lives were changed because of that. And it's a long, sordid story, and it's not done. No, it's still going on. So we're still being carried by people. Some people, though, you got tired of carrying our burdens, and I understand that. Seriously, it's like, oh, gosh, those Schneemans are so high maintenance. And So I'm telling you all right now what you're getting into, and you still have a chance to back out. But we know how to carry others' burdens, and we know when we need it. We know how to ask for help now, and we are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. So I just felt like I had to tell you that too. Like, our kids aren't perfect. We're not perfect. We're messed up. Our world is rocked most of the time. But we love Jesus, and we want to love and serve on you also, and carry one another's burdens, because that truly, truly is what it's about. I would not be here right now if it weren't for people carrying me along, and therapy and Prozac. So I'm just being honest, because that's who I am. But honestly, we need each other. Don't be afraid to ask. So, and you know, I wrote myself a note. I was taking notes when the pastor was speaking, because that's what you do, and I wrote it on a sticky note. And I thought, I mean, he read the verse, but what I really, really liked, I have the end of the verse, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you will have trials, you will have problems. Great news, right? It's a big but, is the best part. And I just, that part, but I have overcome the world. And let me tell you, that is true. You can go through the worst thing in your entire life, because I have been there, done that, a few things, and you survive, and you watch God, and you learn how God truly can transform. Truly, all things are possible. So if you haven't learned that yet, I'm so sorry. You're gonna have to learn it the hard way, like I did. No, I don't know, maybe not, but it's all good, and you need your stretcher bearers. And you guys already have that going around here, let me tell you. You do. So I guess that's it. I did good. I didn't share the whole story. It didn't take an hour. I told you I could do this.
Yeah. Clapping.
Okay, TV, if you want the Reader's Digest, just raise your hand. There she is.
Well, we'll give you the longer story as time goes on if you're interested. But suffice it to say, again, our understanding of this passage is so different now than it was years ago. As we've carried, we've had other people carry our burdens, and we've begun to carry the burdens of others as well. And I think as we do that together, that God is honored, we are blessed, and the world is changed and transformed. So, Who among you needs help? Who has a burden this morning? And who can help with burdens? I think we'll spend the rest of our lives trying to explore that and do that together. And I think God has some exciting and great things in store. I mean, God's already done great things in and through this church, and I think the best is yet to come. As we do life together, we're to carry one another's burdens. And the net result really is that we bless one another in our world and our awesome God. Will you pray with me? Jesus, I'm so thankful for what you said, that in this life we will have trouble, but you have overcome the world. And I thank you that one of the ways, perhaps the primary way, that you have overcome the world and that you invade our lives is by giving us one another. That is, we are your representatives here on planet Earth, that you've called each of us to be your hands and feet and to serve one another and to carry one another's burdens. Thank you for the people in this room that have represented you to me and to Heather and to our family and that have carried our burdens. And I pray that as a church, small C church, and as a capital C church, that we would continue to cast our burdens upon you and then allow others to carry our burdens and carry those of others for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.